Welcome to a message from Oasis Church. For more information about Oasis Church and how you can get connected, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening and enjoy the message.
Let's go to Colossians chapter 3. Amen. We're going to start here tonight. Amen. Got something here that I think that will help us as believers to put ourselves into right perspective of who we are. Amen? And I entitled this, Seeing Your Enemies Through the Eyes of God. Amen. Seeing your enemies through the eyes of God. Not how you see them, but how God sees them. And I think we'll start to see that we can have a whole new perspective on things. So let's start with verse 1 in Colossians chapter 3. It says, if you then were raised with Christ, desire those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. Set your affection or your mind on the things above and not on things of the earth. For you are dead and your life is hidden in Christ in God. When Christ, who is your life, shall appear, you shall also appear with him in glory. Amen. So we got to start looking at things spiritually speaking instead of just seeing things for the value of them through our natural eyes. We got to start looking at things differently. Amen. You got to start looking at them from the perspective of who you really are and not what you perceive yourself to be. Amen. You're a spirit being now. Amen. Made in the image of God, right? That's what God said. He said, let us make man in our image. Praise God. And so we got to start looking at things a little bit differently. Not where you're at in the natural, but where you are seated spiritually. Amen. I think we forget that a lot of times, especially when we're in the heat of battle. I think we forget who we really are. Amen. And that is Satan's greatest ploy, is to get us to forget who we are. Amen? If you read in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 through 6, it tells us that because of God's rich mercy and great love, we have been raised up and seated in heavenly places. We've been raised up because of His mercy and love. Amen? Not because of who we are, but because He called us to be part of His family. Amen? And so you got to quit looking at yourself as one who is always defeated. Amen? Or somebody who's just getting by. Amen. I catch myself saying things like that. Amen? Well, you know, it's happened again, or this or that, or, you know, and I got to catch myself, because if I'm not careful, I'll start to revert back to what I used to be before I got born again. And I don't want to do that. You don't want to do that. It's no fun to go back and relive and rehash those types of things. Amen. You want to come out of those places. Amen. And get to the real place of where you're at, seated with God, seated with Jesus. You know, the Amplified says we have joint seating with Him. So everything that God has and He gave to Jesus, guess what? You've got it too. Amen? Hallelujah. So we've got to start looking at things from a different perspective. I like the definition of the word perspective. It means this. It means a particular attitude or way of regarding something. You have a particular way that you look at things. Amen? And it doesn't necessarily fall in line with what other people think. Because you're from the perspective of seated with Jesus. And whatever Jesus has spoken in His Word, that's how you see things. You don't see things the way other people do. Amen? You see them from the perspective of how God has declared them to be so. And I really love what Romans 4 talks about whenever it talks about Abraham. And we get to, you know, Abraham in verse 21, where it says that he became fully persuaded. Did you hear that word, became? That means he wasn't at first. Amen. But he got to the point of where he was. He became that. Amen. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but grew strong in faith, praise God, giving glory to God. Amen. So see, you're not going to be where you want to be right off. But you can get to that place, amen, and you can start to see yourself as someone who has victory. Amen. That's hard to think about sometimes, that I'm a person of victory. God always causes me to triumph. Always, amen, always. Well, why is it that I've not seen it all the time? Because you and I don't see ourselves the same way that God sees us. Amen. You're special in His eyes, and you need to look at it that way. Amen. Hallelujah. God's plans for us are all plans of victory, always. Never to be defeated, never to come up on the short end. Amen. But I've not seen myself like that all the time. Matter of fact, more times than not, I've seen myself as someone who's just barely going to get out of this. Amen. Just barely going to get through things. Amen. But God's way of seeing things is victory. Amen. You know, you go and you look at this in Jeremiah 29:11. He says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you. Thoughts of good, to bring you to an expected end." Amen. Not to see you go down the tubes, but to see you come out. Amen. So this is a good thing. This is what we want to see. Amen. Now I want to give you some scripture on victory. How's that? Amen. So that you know, if you're taking notes, take these down. Praise God. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54, it says that death is swallowed up in victory. Amen. Verse 57 of the same chapter says, "But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." Yes. He gives us the victory. Amen. In John 16:33, Jesus said, "In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." That's victory, folks. Amen. "I've overcome the world." In the Amplified, it says that "I have deprived it of its power to harm you." Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. You want some more? I'll give you some more. 1 John 5:4 says this, "And this is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith." Amen. Colossians 1:13 says that we've been translated out of the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. Amen. Colossians 2:15 says that Jesus has disarmed authorities and powers. Amen. Hallelujah. And John 10:10, Jesus said, "I have come that they may have life." Amen. Praise God. That's victory, folks. That's who you are. That's who I am. That's how we're to live our lives. Amen. So I think you kind of start to get the idea of how God views you as a victor. Not a victim, amen, but a victor, praise God, hallelujah. And I like this one, Isaiah 54:17, it tells us that weapons will form against us, but they'll not prosper. So there's going to be things, issues, and things that are going to come up, but they're not going to overtake you, overpower you, or take you out. Amen. Amen. They'll be there, but you'll walk right through them. Amen. Amen. Praise God. So that's kind of what we're going to look at tonight. Amen. And I wrote this down too. Every obstacle is a victory on the horizon. Amen. Yeah. Every obstacle is a victory on the horizon. Amen. It's not there yet, but if you keep walking, you'll come out on the other side. Amen. Hallelujah. So we got to start looking at things through the eyes of God. So I've got a few examples here that I want us to look at. If you go to, in your Bible to Isaiah chapter 7, we'll kind of look at some things here. Hallelujah. Don't check out on me yet, okay? Isaiah chapter 7, we're going to look at something here that's really how God views our enemies. Amen. It's a lot different than what we do sometimes. So let's look at this in Isaiah chapter 7, and we're going to start with verse 1. And it came to pass in the days of Ahaz, the son of Jotham, the son of Uzziah, king of Judah, that Rezin, the king of Amram, and Pekah, the son of, praise God, the king of Israel, went up toward Jerusalem to war against it, but could not prevail against it. And it was said in the house of David, Aram is allied with Ephraim. Then his heart trembled, and the hearts of his people, as the trees of the woods, tremble in the wind. Now, it's kind of interesting that it says here that these two kings went up against Jerusalem to war against it, but they couldn't prevail against it. But the word came back to the king of Judah that these two kings had aligned themselves with each other. Amen. And just that fact caused them to tremble. They hadn't heard anything about, they couldn't prevail against Jerusalem. But just the mere fact that these two kings had aligned themselves together called Ahaz to tremble, and all the people started to tremble. Amen. Bad scene. But let's look at what God says. Amen. Then the Lord said to Isaiah, go out to meet Ahaz and you and Shear Jahaz. Oh, God. Well, Lord Jesus. Amen. Why is it that some of these people had such weird names and then we got Mark, Luke, John, and Matthew? What is the deal? Amen. Doesn't make a lick of sense to me. Praise God. But that's just me. So go up at the end of the conduit at the upper pool in the highway of the fuller's field and say to him, take heed and be quiet. We could stop right there. We could stop a lot of things in our lives right there. Amen. Just be quiet. Do not fear nor be faint-hearted because of the two tails of these smoking firebrands, because of the fierce anger of Rezin with Amram and the son of Remaliah, because Amram, Ephraim, and the son of Remaliah have taken evil counsel against you, saying, let us go up against Judah and trouble it, and let us make a breach there for us, and set a king in the midst of it, even the son of Tabeel. Thus says the Lord God, it shall not stand, nor shall it come to pass. Amen. Listen to what he's saying here. Amen. Now, he said, don't be listening to these two firebrands. What is a firebrand? Does anybody know? Well, in case you don't know, I looked it up to find out what a firebrand is. Amen? A firebrand is a stick used to start a fire. It's a burning stick used to start a bigger fire. And it can also be a person with the ability to start or incite a riot. Amen? But listen to what God says about these two. He says, well, let me go back and look at this. He says, do not fear nor be faint-hearted because of the two tails. That's an important word there. Amen? What is the tail of a firebrand? It's what's left after it's burnt out. Amen? The tail is that little, you know, if you had a something like a wick, and you blew it out, and it was kind of just smoldered. That's what he's talking about here. He said, don't be afraid of these two smoldering sticks. Amen? There's no need for you to look at them like that. Amen? Hallelujah. I want to read you some other translations of this because I think it's really, really neat. Amen? The Passion Translation says, give him this message, stay calm, be quiet, and guard your heart. Don't panic or be discouraged over these two smoldering stubs of firewood. Smoldering. No fire. Got a little bit of appearance, amen? The New Century Version says, tell Ahaz, be careful, be calm, and don't worry. Don't be afraid of their anger, because they are like two barely burning sticks that are ready to go out. These are your enemies. This is how God sees your enemies. I really like this one. This is the Living Bible. It says, tell him to quit worrying. Tell him he needn't be frightened by the fierce anger of these two has-beens. Amen? Has-beens. They're not even worth the effort that you're giving out to them. Amen? And the Good News Translation says this, tell him to keep alert and stay calm and don't be frightened or disturbed. They are no more dangerous than the smoke of two smoldering sticks of wood. That's all they are. Your enemies. This is how God sees them. This is how God looks at all of these situations that are going on in your life. It may not be people. It may be just circumstances. It may be some kind of a pressure. Amen? So you got to ask yourself this question. Does this sound like God's really concerned? You can't possibly see this like that. Amen? He sees only victory. Amen? But listen to this in verse 9. Let's go down at the last part of verse 9. He says, if you will not believe, surely you shall not be established. So you're going to have to believe this. You're going to have to keep this in your heart all the time. What I'm seeing is not what God is seeing right now. Amen? If you don't get this established, it's not going to be a part of your life. You're going to have to get it inside of you. You're going to have to look the way God looks at things all the time. Amen? Hallelujah. I like what it says in 2 Chronicles 20:15. It says, do not fear nor be dismayed because of this great army. Amen? For the battle is not yours, but God's. Amen. How many times God would love to get into the thick of things and we won't let him? Well, why? What do you mean? Well, worry is keeping him pushed out. Your worry is stronger than God. Amen? And if you're concerned and if you are, you know, over excited about things like that, then that is keeping God from coming onto the scene. Amen. Because you're already there with all the armament you need, your worry, your fear, your sweaty brow, amen, or whatever it is that you may be having at this moment. All of this is keeping God out of the picture. He wants to get into the mix of this thing, amen. He wants to mess him up really bad because he's already defeated. We already seen all of that earlier. He spoiled principalities and powers, made an open show of them. Amen? Triumphing over them. Amen. So whenever the enemy comes against you, he actually has no power whatsoever. At all. None. Zilch. Why? Because it's all been stripped from him. He has nothing but a pathetic voice to speak. Amen? And to try to
deceive you and I so that we won't listen to God. God said, just be chill. Amen. Just let this thing go. I've got this. Amen. See, this is what this thing of casting your care is all about. Casting your care unto the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. So we've got to see every enemy coming against us defeated. You're nothing before me, because my God has given me the victory. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's look at this. We're in Isaiah. Let's go over a few chapters to Isaiah 14. I got to hurry up here. I'm running out of time. Amen. Talking about this, when Lucifer was in heaven, he starts barking out all of this great stuff about who he was and what he was going to do and how he was going to show up God, how he was going to sit on the throne of God. Amen. And listen to this, what was said in verse, we'll start with verse 13. He says, "For you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also on the mount of the congregation in the recesses of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High." That was Lucifer's talking here. Amen. Then God says, "Excuse me. You shall be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. That's where you're going." Now look at this. Those who see you shall stare at you and ponder over you. Is this the man who made the earth to tremble and shook kingdoms? Really? This thing right here, this pathetic little imp? And they'll start to ponder. Why should I be afraid of that? Why should that be a concern for me? Amen? Because God says, they'll stare at you. Amen? In utter amazement. And I might dare say this, we should be just maybe a little bit embarrassed that we were giving him more credit than what he was due, because he was to be given no credit whatsoever. Amen? Is this the one? Really? You got to be kidding. This is how God sees him. This is how you are to see him. When he starts to mess with your stuff, when he starts to mess with your family, when he starts to cause problems for you personally, you need to read this. Really? This? I'm all concerned about this? And start putting a whole new look about things, amen, of who you are and who he is, which is a nobody. Amen? Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm going to look at one more, then I'm going to have to close for tonight. But let's go to 2 Kings chapter 6. Pastor talked about him, I think, Sunday, if I'm not mistaken. Amen. Elisha, the man of God, the prophet of God, was privy to the things that the king was saying. Amen. And he was telling the king of Israel everything. Amen. Don't go there. Go there. do this, don't do that. And the other king was thinking, okay, we got a traitor among us. Who is it who's telling this king everything that we're doing? And one of his servants say, it's Elisha. He's the one. Amen. He said, go and get him. Go find out where he's at. And he said, well, he's in Dothan or whatever. Not Gotham. Amen. Dothan. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so they go there. In verse 13, it says, he said, go and see where he is that I may send for him and take him. And it was told him that he is in Dothan. So he sent horses, chariots, and a great army there. And they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, a force surrounding the city, both with horses and chariots, and his servant said to him, alas, master, what will we do? Boy, don't that sound like us? What am I going to do? I don't understand. What are we going to do now? Amen? What are we going to do? Elisha prayed. He said, Lord, open his eyes and let him see. Let him see what? Let him see the exact thing that I see. Amen. The word open there means to open the senses, especially the eyes. Sometimes you just need to open your eyes. Amen. Not your baby blues or whatever color they are, but to open your spiritual eyes and start looking at things through the eyes of the Word. Amen. And start looking at your enemies like that. He said, let him see what I see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw that the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire surrounding Elisha. There you go. Amen. Same God that Elisha served is the same God that you and I serve. The same one. Amen. No different. And sometimes, if you're in the midst of something, you ought to pray, Lord, open my eyes so that I can see plainly what this is all about. That might be all you need to do. Is say, Lord, just reveal to me. I've said that more than once. Lord, show me what this is all about. Help me to see what this is all about. Amen. And in time it comes. Sometimes it's not an instantaneous thing, but it comes. If you're persistent and you really mean it. But if you're going to have faith, you got to stay in faith. Amen. You can't start out in faith and then all of a sudden, whenever the answer doesn't come, now what are we going to do? Well, and everything that you thought comes tumbling down. Amen. We've got to understand who God is in us. Amen. 1 John 4:4 says that greater is he who is in us than he that is in the world. Amen. Greater. What does greater mean to you? More powerful. Amen. So he's greater. He's on the inside of you. He's ready to tell you everything that you need to know about any situation. And the next time that enemy comes, you just laugh at him. No wonder we're told to laugh. No wonder God sets into heavens and laughs. Amen. He looks as, you know, we get all concerned about, well, what's going to happen to this? You know, our nation's just falling apart. And God's sitting up there laughing because he knows the outcome. He knows how it's going to come about. Amen. And there isn't a devil, a demon, a circumstance, a situation, or anything else, a person, that is greater than our God who sits on the throne. Amen. So quit looking at things through your natural eyes. I'm going to close now. Amen. Start looking at things from the perspective that God looks at them. Amen. You'll always be a winner then. You'll never be defeated. And anytime he comes, you just give him a swift kick and tell him to hit the road, that you're not going to entertain him, not for a moment longer. In Jesus' name, amen.
That concludes today's message. For more information about Oasis Church, please visit myoasischurch.com. Thanks for listening.